It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. There are many people who make their living by relying on their voice. Singers, of course, but also teachers, clergy, people in customer service, and yes, talk show hosts. Where do these people turn for help in taking care of their voice? The UPMC Voice Center is a unique place in Pittsburgh for more than just vocalists, but anyone who uses their voice on a regular basis. I'm joined now by the Director of Speech-Language Pathology at the UPMC Voice Center, Dr. Jacqueline Gartner-Schmidt. Dr. Schmidt, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And also joining us is a man who sings for his supper, if you will, a professional singer, Carl Bailey, entertainment manager of Sing Sing, the dueling piano bar at the Homestead Waterfront. Carl Bailey, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Paul.
Dr. Gartner-Schmidt, how long has the UPMC Voice Center been up and running, and what does it offer?
1995 is when my colleague Clark Rosen, who is the director, started it. And so we have been building since that time. We have three laryngologists now, Libby Smith and Vivi Young, two PhD speech pathologists. Dr. Amanda Gillespie is our director of research, and myself, and we have four other speech pathologists and three singing voice therapists. And actually, Carl's singing voice therapist is Robert Fire, who is the director for us.
He's awesome.
Yeah, awesome.
Now, 20 years ago, yeah, when this was started, what led the founders to say, you know, there's a need for a place like this?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, patients like Carl. So where can a patient go that is having voice problems and have a one-stop shopping? So they have a laryngologist. And by the way, a laryngologist is someone that is trained just for the voice. It's a general ENT, but they take one more year of training and they specialize in the voice. So where can they go to find a doctor if they need surgery and medicine? Where can they find a speech pathologist that's trained in speaking voice and a singing voice therapist that's trained in the singing voice, all under one roof.
So what did they do before? I mean, did you just go to an eye, ear, and throat guy?
Correct. Actually, in 1992, my old boss, Robert Ossoff at the Vanderbilt Voice Center, started fellowship programs for laryngologists. And prior to that, you would go to a general ENT. And general ENTs are fabulous. They absolutely can help patients with voice problems.
But that wasn't enough.
That wasn't enough. And you know, if it's a slightly more difficult procedure or therapy is needed, sometimes they will refer to us.
Yeah. In a case like mine, it wasn't just a matter of fixing the problem that was currently at hand, mm-hmm, but it was also making sure that that problem didn't come back. And that's where the voice training and the speech training came in, was to, you know, yeah, Clark fixed what was wrong.
And what was wrong?
Well, it was just singing too much, singing too hard, singing improperly, using improper technique.
And what was the improper technique that you were using? What are you now doing differently?
Well, it's kind of hard to describe. The muscles in your throat are involuntary muscles. So you work with a speech therapist and they tell you, you know, you're doing that right. And then you just do it repetitively until you do it more naturally. When you take voice lessons with Robert, you'll make a tone and he'll say, no, that's incorrect. Try something different. So then you try something different and he goes, that is correct. So then you do it repetitively until it becomes more natural.
And sometimes I'm going to say that it's not actually the patient is doing it the wrong way. It just happens to be that their occupational voice demands are huge. Teachers are our number one patient population. And what Carl does is he plays the piano, sings all night, every night, pretty much. And then he's on the phone because you've got the administrative side of his job and he's talking. And then so he's singing and then he's also getting the attendees of Sing Sing riled up. So it's occupational voice demands sometimes lead us to voice problems.
That had to be very frightening because you make your living with your voice and then all of a sudden it's not working. I'm guessing there was a major fear factor involved.
Absolutely.
Here.
Mm-hmm. And we were just talking, yeah, about this. It's also, you know, you start losing your confidence. You know, you're thinking forward of what's coming up in the song. And, you know, there may be a high note and you're thinking to yourself while you're singing, you're thinking, okay, that high note is coming up. Am I going to hit it tonight? Should mm-hmm. I hit it tonight? I have to sing three more nights. Should I just back off a little bit so I can sing the next three nights? And, you know, when you're singing properly with proper technique, you have the confidence of knowing that you're going to hit that, you're going to hit that note.
So who besides singers often require help in taking care of their voice?
As said, teachers, number one, music teachers, the clergy, salespeople, pretty much anyone who uses their voice. And our main bread and butter, if you will, are patients that have lesions, like Carl did. And there's other patients that have something called muscle tension to their voice. And then we live in Pittsburgh, which is, what is it, the second largest elderly population in the country next to Florida. So we have patients that have what we call vocal fold atrophy, an aging voice. And a lot of people now are still working past 65 and into their 70s. Mm-hmm. And they come in and they've got, you know, some roughness to their voice and they want some help. And we also see patients that have paralysis. And of course, as you know, one of your coworkers, Diane Rehm, that has asthmatic dysphonia. It's a
that was a pretty good imitation.
Yeah,
you just did.
I do imitations all the time because it resonates with people.
Well, she was in fact here. In fact, sitting in the very chair that you are in this studio. Your colleague, as I understand it, diagnosed her spasmodic.
Yeah.
Spasmodic dysphonia.
Right. That was Paul Flint at Hopkins. Mm-hmm.
And what was he able to do to help her, or what has been done for Diane Rehm to help her stay on the air?
Botox. So Botox, just so you know, I don't personally know her, but Botox is a medicine that is injected into the vocal folds every 3 months for her so that she doesn't essentially get choked off when she speaks. So Diane is doing nothing wrong with her voice. This is something that happens to her, and it's actually a central nervous system problem. And so, yeah, for the rest of her life, she'll be taking these Botox shots. We see we do about 500 Botox shots at UPMC Voice Center a year.
And she's been able to stay on the air, which
right.
is very important to her because though she is a writer, as she explained when she was here, she is a radio person. And
right.
she wants to be on the air asking the questions, and she still does that each and every weekday at 10 a.m. here on 90.5 WESA. Now, are some of these things that people experience, is there a pain level involved in addition to the dysfunction?
It's an awesome question. You know, you would think it's all about the sound of your voice. And I know, Carl, you can really speak to this. But singers and speakers in general, there's also a feel component. So when your vocal folds are not working correctly, there's a lot of effort and there's a lot of vocal fatigue.
It just becomes harder. In my case, I had a vocal fold hemorrhage, which is essentially I popped a blood vessel in my vocal cord. But it wasn't like it happened and I grabbed my throat in pain. It was just a general diminishment of my abilities, losing my range on the top, losing my range on the bottom, and also not being able to have breath control, whereas normally I could sing 2 to 4 lines on one breath. I was only singing 2 to 3 words on a breath. And that's because the vocal cords were not swinging symmetrically. They were swinging asymmetrically. So then the voice, the air was just pouring out of me instead of me being able to control it.
And then you've got to muscle through it, and that's never good.
Yeah, and then that's when you start compounding your injury. When you start singing over your injury, then it just gets worse and worse.
Mm-hmm. And you ended up having some laser work done, apparently the same surgery that Steven Tyler of Aerosmith fame underwent.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically, I had had blood vessels form in defense of the harshness of what I was doing to my vocal cords. And they were surface blood vessels, and they're very prone to popping. So Dr. Rosen lasered. The one that burst ended up healing, but there were several others that were potential that they could burst in the future. So he just lasered those off because if they're not there, they can't burst.
It's a KTP laser.
A KTP laser? Mm-hmm. And that is what exactly?
Potassium titanol phosphate. Basically what it does is it zaps the blood vessels, and if they have to actually cut on the vocal folds and there's a lesion, it's like a bloodless cut.
And how that's the great thing about a laser, I guess. Mm-hmm. And how common is this surgery?
We're doing it more and more. In-office procedures. We do about 500 in-office procedures at UPMC a year.
Yeah, it literally saved my career.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And so the thing that the UPMC Voice Center does is diagnose these problems,
right,
and diagnose treatment,
mm-hmm,
as well.
Right.
And so, Carl Bailey, based on the UPMC Voice Center's recommendations, what are you doing to keep your voice in shape now, post-surgery?
More water, more rest. With Robert Fyer, we would tape all of our voice lessons. And so I make sure that I'm warmed up before my procedure. Lots of rest. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really the basics. Not talking too much during the day. Cell phone is terrible for vocalists, because for some reason you talk louder into a cell phone, mm-hmm, than you talk into a regular phone. And going back to my initial problem, that was part of it. I was on the phone 2 to 4 hours a day, and then I would go sing. So I make sure I text when I can. And if I can replace a conversation with a text message, I do that.
Do an email instead of a phone conversation?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything to rest a little bit.
And so as we look at the future for this voice center, and as people listening to this say, this is something I'm guessing there are people that don't even know that this place exists.
Mm-hmm.
How do they find out more, and how do they get in touch with people like you, Dr. Jacqueline Gartner-Schmidt?
Our phone number is 412-232-SING-7464, and we have a website, thevoicecenter.upmc.com.
And we'll put a link to all of this,
sure,
on our website at wesa.fm, and we'll also have information about an event for the Voice Center happening tomorrow.
Right. It's a gala that we're having. It's sponsored by Steinway Pianos. So if anyone is interested in buying a Steinway, they are being sold right now at the Century Club. And it's also presented by the Opera Theater of Pittsburgh. And it's to benefit the Ear and Eye Foundation for research money for the Voice Center. As you, Paul, have talked about on air, unfortunately, our government funding is drying up. And a lot of times people in the government and institutional funding will pay for cancer, which is fabulous. Do not get me wrong. But no one really dies of a voice center. And so of a voice problem. So sometimes the money there for research, for us to go ahead in the most effective treatments, is not there. And really, as Carl is a testimony, it's a quality of life problem. Again, not dying from it, but it can.
Although if you were relying on your voice to make your living and you couldn't afford,
absolutely,
to take care of yourself, it could be,
absolutely,
in fact, a life and death,
yep,
situation. Well,
absolutely. Good point.
But it also permeated into my regular life, because on my days off, I had to be careful. If I went to a Steeler game, I couldn't cheer.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, and that's tough in a town like this, because there's so much cheering for teams going on.
Exactly.
I've come to work with Stadium Voice before.
Yeah, and so even my non-working hours,
sure, you know,
I had to be cautious. I had to be careful of what I was doing. I can't go to a party tonight because there's going to be loud music, and I'll have a tendency to have to yell over the loud music. So I just wouldn't go.
Well, it sounds like you've learned how to take care of your voice, and that's a big part of what the UPMC Voice Center is about. We've been talking about that with Dr. Jacqueline Gartner-Schmidt, who is the Director of Speech-Language Pathology at the UPMC Voice Center, and also joining us, a man who has sought treatment there, and it evidently has worked quite well for him, Carl Bailey, Entertainment Manager of Sing Sing, the dueling piano bar at the Homestead Waterfront. Thanks to both of you for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, Duquesne University Law School Dean Ken Gormley on the resignation of Eric Holder. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.